Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Hello.
Hello.
Knock, knock, knock. When we go live with this podcast, I will be in Croatia. Do you know what? I'm really sorry because Jamie said to me this morning, he was like, oh, no one wants to hear you bragging about your holiday. And I was like, oh, little shit. He's also off on holiday for 2 weeks. So I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm just going to say that I've got through my month of early mornings and I'm so happy that we're actually going to have a break for 6 days with the kids. I just can't wait to see them, like spend time with them.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think that's the thing, isn't it? You've been getting up so early every single morning. And then by the afternoon, like, you know, you want to go to sleep and you've got the kids around. And at least now you can go away and have some quality time with them. And hopefully, you know, they might sleep in.
Oh, yeah. Have you met Luna? Do you know Luna? No, I'm more excited about someone just, if I ask really politely, bringing me drinks all day long.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, like, yeah. That's going to be amazing. What drink do you want now, madam?
Drunk parenting is the best kind of parenting. Yeah, if you ask me. I mean, everything's funny. You don't worry about any consequences.
So true. How are you? What have you got planned for the week?
I'm good. This week I'll be getting myself ready. We're going to Whitstable. So hopefully we might be in the sun, mightn't we? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm just working, but I have actually handed in my notice.
Yeah! We love to celebrate. I'm really sorry to all of her friends and colleagues. But I, you know, in my heart of hearts, I'm quite thrilled. Can I say that?
You're allowed to say whatever you want.
No, please tell us what happened.
No, I have handed in my notice. I think I spoke, months ago, that I was, you know, ready to get back into the corporate world and, you know, I was really up for the challenge. But I think the reality of it is that basically I am a parent to two. I have made my mamas, and another thing added in was just too much and too far removed from what I'm doing here. So yeah. I'm going to keep my, you know, I'm going to be freelance and I'm doing some freelance PR marketing. So I will still be doing that and keeping, you know, my toe or whatever it is you say in it. But I'll be working for myself.
Corporate world does not get Georgia Dayton. We get her back, which is great. To be fair, Georgia, it never affected anything that you did. This is why I always say that you are complete superwoman, because you took on a serious role 4 days a week and you still did the majority of, you know, all of your stuff at Made by Mamas and some. And it was like, I don't know how you were so productive during the days. You just smashed it out the park. But just on selfish reasons, I'm just quite grateful.
No, but you know what? If it taught me anything, is that you literally, like, I had no time, like, even headspace for myself. And I think that's what's really important. So anyone going back to work, I would just keep in mind that, you know, whether it's an hour in the morning while you travel to work, like, just making sure you have that little bit of headspace for yourself, because that's where I suffered. So yeah,
good piece of advice.
There's the
George.
News,
and I love you for trying it. I love you for giving it a whirl, you legend. Now we need to get into today's chat. A really beautiful conversation with this amazing guest. We, you know, touch on single parents, but we have never really had the conversation around what it's like to be a single parent, and also going through the whole process of actually having a baby as a single woman. Like,
yeah,
that has never come up across Babe by Mama. So this was a first for us, and we definitely found the most incredible person to come on and talk us through that whole process. Really fascinating conversation, wasn't it, George?
It really, really was. And also, I hope if there's anyone listening to this who is single and they listen to our podcast in the hope, you know, that maybe one day that they will be a parent, then I hope this might make you think a little and you know that you can do it by yourself. And also there are some quite practical tips in here on how you can do that and how you can go about it. Should we get into it?
Let's do it. If in doubt, go off and find some Viking sperm or be revealed. Who are we chatting to today?
Today we are chatting to Liv Thorne, otherwise known on Instagram as Livs Alone.
Now, generally, before I start the podcast, I always say to our guest, what credit would you like? And I've just asked our wonderful guest today what credit she would like. And she turned around to me and she goes, mum, person, author. But then I feel like a massive twat. So that's how I'm going to introduce her today. Joining us on the podcast, mum, person, author. On Instagram, she is Livs Alone, the wonderful, absolutely brilliant. We can't wait to chat to her. It's Liv Thorne. How are you?
Yay! Hello.
How does it feel to be a published author? Congratulations.
It's really terrifying. I got the books a couple of days ago. I got some press copies and I still can't really look at them because it just feels bonkers. And a bit surreal that there's my life is in there. And sorry, I'm looking at them as if they're people. I need to let it sink in and be proud that I did it. But at the moment, it's still like. Yeah.
And you should be so proud because a lot of work goes into writing a book.
I had no idea. And now I do. So yeah.
Exactly. So, Liv, for those of those listeners who don't know anything about you, can you just sort of tell us how you came to writing a book, what the book's about, and a little bit about your story?
So, when I was about 30, well, since ever, I've been a professional single person. So, I've never had a successful adult relationship. But I always wanted to be a mum. And so, the older you get, the more and more your friends have children, and it becomes increasingly loud in your head that you need a baby and what are you going to do? And really sad as well. There's something really, so when your best friends get pregnant and things, you really want to be thrilled for them, but actually equally you feel like you're being punched in the face, you know? So you have to do that constant Oscar-worthy, like, oh, I'm really thrilled for you, as you run off and cry on your way home. And so I got to 35 and suddenly thought, actually, I've got to sort, I can't go through life anymore not being a mum. So I decided to have a baby with a sperm donor. A sperm donor?
A sperm?
A sperm donor. And so went through fertility treatment and got pregnant a year and a half later, and I now have a 3-year-old son.
Amazing.
That is the synopsis
in a nutshell.
So there's a shed load in the middle.
So Liv, take us back to, you know, you mentioned about the pregnancy announcements at that time in your life. You said you're a professional single person. What was it about the pregnancy announcements that were hurting the most? Was it the fact that you looked at your life and you thought, I'm not with anyone, I'm not gonna have a baby? Or was it purely the baby part, or was it the whole package of having a partner as well?
I thought it was the whole package of having a partner. But actually, the more I looked into it, the more it was, I wanted a baby. Like, falling in love would be amazing, but I was... if I ever went on dates, which was really rare, it would be the only thing I'd be thinking was, do you think he wants to have a kid? Do you think he wants to have a kid? Not, do you think we're getting along? and do you think this would be a good relationship? It's, do you think he wants children? And that's when I was just like, actually, that's craziness. It isn't a partner I want, it's a baby.
And do you think, well, I'll ask you the question, what was happening to your dating life during that period? Was there added pressure that was put onto it? Because you said that that was kind of the driver. Did it make it difficult to have relationships with people?
Well, I genuinely didn't have any relationships since I was about 22. Wow. And then when I did ever think about it, it was a lot. It was literally about having a baby. It was, so it would be like, yeah, I'd love a gin and tonic. And by the way, I'm ovulating, can we, you know.
I know we've just met, but do you fancy
fertilizing your eggs? I never actually did that. Yeah, but that is literally what I was thinking. So I knew that it wasn't, so it was totally putting pressure on that. And therefore, I didn't want to go on dates because the pressure was so intense. It was never about just seeing if I could find someone nice. It was about having a family, and that's madness to that is just madness. And I didn't notice that before. I know loads of people talk about it, and again, I didn't realize until I was a mum, but motherhood really makes you look at yourself. Like it strips you back. There are things you didn't know about yourself that suddenly are so obvious. And that was this whole me dating. My parents died when I was a teenager, and loads of other things happened after that. And so I didn't realise until I was in my 30s that actually I was avoiding relationships because I didn't want to be hurt again. And so then that became I'm avoiding it because I'm putting too much pressure because I want to have a baby. So it was all sort of bundled up in one thing that I just didn't realise until I had a kid who stripped all my emotions down and made me take a cold, hard look at myself.
Here's a mirror. Stare at yourself really hard. Exactly, let's analyse this.
Exactly that. There were a lot of things that that came out from that.
And so what was the moment that you thought, I mean, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I guess some people might think, like you did, all right, I'll go on a date, I'll just fall pregnant by somebody and that will be that. And they don't have to have anything to do with the child's life, but that's how I'll get pregnant.
Yeah.
But that isn't how, obviously, you did it. And what was the moment that you thought, right, no, I've got to do this properly. I really need to, you know, have a baby. And how did you even go about the process?
Well, I didn't think about including anyone else, because actually that would just make it harder. It would make it more complicated. Yeah. Like, it was hard enough me thinking about having a relationship with someone that I did want it to work out, in inverted commas, normally, let alone, I'll see if I can try and get pregnant by that guy and then just run off with a baby. Like, just too complex for me.
Yeah.
And so I just looked into sperm donation. It had always been a really funny joke. Oh, wouldn't it be funny if you had to have a baby on your own and you got a sperm donor? And then I was like, oh shit, actually that is how it's going to happen. And I just did a lot of Googling, because
where do you start?
And I still don't really know what to say to people who say that to me, because it's so different for everybody. There are a couple of great foundations, I guess you'd call them, that you could speak to, like the Donor Conception Network and a couple of others that tell you a lot about donor fertility. But you still like, okay, cool, but where do I start? And I ended up going to my doctor and just saying, I just want a baby. And she was amazing and just helped me, you know, just talked me through it a bit.
So you went to your doctor, that was kind of your first, after the Googling.
After just wild, crazy
Googling, we call it. You then went to your doctor. Now talk us through that conversation and how helpful, was your GP?
So she was actually amazing, but as with anything medical, it just depends who you go to, who your doctor is, how much support you can get. It's a postcode lottery, isn't it? Anything with this. Mine was amazing. I sort of had this fear inside me that she'd laugh and go, absolutely not, you can't be a mum, you know, because I'd never really said it to someone professional before that I wanted to be a mum on my own. And so I was constantly expecting someone to go, absolutely not. You can't, you're not allowed to do this, you know. And so I was terrified asking her.
That's mad, isn't it?
And that's really
what we
weird.
Think. That's the craziest thing that's inbuilt inside us, that someone's going to turn around to us and say, actually, no, I'm going to make this decision for you. You can't be a mother because you haven't got a partner.
You can't do it. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was just like, she's going to base it on the fact that I don't have a partner or whatever. And I was just terrified. But actually, she just sort of giggled and went, of course you want to be a mum. Let's sort this out for you, you know. Mm. And so then she arranged some blood tests for me to check my hormone levels. But again, some people, you can't get that with your GP. You have to pay for it.
And were these your AMH levels, FSH?
FSH and AMH.
Yeah.
But again, I didn't know that at the time. And I was too terrified to ask what she was testing for, because that is my go-to when I'm scared or worried. I just bury my head in the sand and just do it until I need to know what it was. So I didn't ask what it was about in case I knew the answer. And, and again, it would say, you're absolutely not allowed to be a mother.
You can't be a mother. Right. Now, anybody listening that doesn't know, the AMH is the anti-Mullerone hormone, which is present in the book. I've been through it all. Tell us a little bit more about that and what came out. What were the results of that?
So the results were absolutely fine, and I'm really lucky, because actually, although I talk about fertility treatment a lot, I didn't have fertility treatment in the standard way people assume. So often when we're talking about fertility treatment, it's because someone's having trouble getting pregnant. As far as I was aware, I was fertile. I just didn't have a partner. So my infertility problem was that I was single, rather than there was something potentially wrong with my reproductive organs or my levels or any of that. So, and those first set of blood tests came back absolutely fine and sort of covered the fact that I was right. There was nothing wrong with me per se, apart from the lack of partner. So then, which spurred me on to, I was like, okay, cool. First step, I can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then I guess you went to a fertility clinic to find a sperm donor. And how was that process? Because, you know, like you say, a lot of people who'd be going to fertility clinics might have a partner and they want to, you know, they want to go through IVF or they want to, you know, do various other things.
Yes. So, oh my God, it's so tricky talking about fertility because there are so many caveats about everything. So, for example, I didn't get my sperm from my clinic. I got my sperm from an online sperm bank in Denmark.
Oh, yeah, Denmark. My friends went there too.
Oh, did
I got
they?
Their
yeah.
sperm from them. Yes. My two gay friends, Lucy and Yvonne, they won't mind me talking about this. They went to Denmark to get their sperm. And
again, I don't know what, I do. I watched a documentary called The Vikings Are Coming about Danish sperm. And so suddenly...
Is it the best?
No, not actually Vikings, because I'm watching Vikings. This is a totally different
program. No, not actually Vikings. Okay, imagine.
Imagine that.
And so suddenly Denmark was all I knew about sperm banks. It was literally all I knew because I'd watched this one documentary. And so suddenly I was on Danish sperm bank sites. And that's sort of what happens with fertility. You can look into it more and more and more. And the more you delve, actually, the more questions there are rather than answers. And the more, oh, I could do this or I could do this. Oh, God, did you hear about so-and-so who did it this way? And there, because there is no answer.
No.
And there is no, whether you're trying to get pregnant like me on your own, or if you have fertility issues with your partner or you and your partner, or there are constant caveats to all of it and different, just differences everywhere. There is no one answer. There's no right or wrong, as I'm sure you know, that it's, and you can't say, oh God, I think this worked for me. You know, I had pineapple the day of my treatment, I think that worked, or I got my sperm from this bank, so it will definitely work for you.
Yeah, no,
this
one
fertility clinic.
All, is it?
Literally, no. Yeah. I mean, not even no 12 dice works for all. It's it is a complete magical lottery, and I was just bloody lucky.
And the rules in Denmark, now I don't know if I'm going to get this completely correct. I'm not an expert.
I doubt
in this
I will either.
Area, but the rules in Denmark in terms of sperm donors. Now, is it true that in England, the sperm donor can be anonymous, In Denmark, they have a choice, or they can always be found at 18. Can you just clarify that up for us?
So it everywhere has different anonymity laws.
Right.
Right.
And it changes all the time. In again, this is where you can, I can never say anything as fact, because people look at it in the UK and actually they could get their sperm from the US and that's different, or they could get it from Greece and that's different. But I chose Denmark, yes, because the donor could be contacted when my son is 18. And I felt really strongly for me that I didn't want to shut that door for my son. That I felt for me that wasn't a decision that was mine to make. If he wants to contact the donor at 18, that's his call, not mine.
Right.
Okay. And you know who, obviously, because you know who the donor is and you have the pack. And and I heard a story about a lovely donor writing a letter to their unborn daughter or child at the time saying,
"Don't, I'll start weeping.
This is, I know, it's really, this is me. I've done this for you so that you can have a life." There's just this beautiful, beautiful, I mean, I didn't get to read it. I was just verbally told about it. And that, is that right? Does that happen?
Oh God, I've gone. So I chose mine because one of the reasons was that they talked about meeting in the future. And a lot of the donors didn't acknowledge that that could be a possibility.
Right.
And so I didn't want my son to turn up and this guy go, "Oh shit, I remember donating 20 years ago. What are you doing here?" type thing. But yeah, you get let, well, again, from my, again, it's different.
Just in your experience.
I can't say that enough. But in my experience, I've got a letter stating why he was a donor. I've got him reading that letter out loud, saying why he did it. And I've got and the letter's in his handwriting, which to me, I love crap like that. But I don't know, it just made him feel more real. And also at this particular clinic, you get a baby photo.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Which is vaguely pointless because
because you don't know.
Who looks like that? But yeah, there's something really beautiful about how often they know exactly how what they're doing is just a bloody magical gift.
Yeah.
Because they're not paid for it. I mean, they are. They're paid expenses type. They're probably paid like 100 euros or something.
Right.
And what did it say? What did your donor say?
I'm not going to say because it's really personal to Herb, I think. And there were some real reasons why I felt like he was the right donor for us.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with everyone that I've spoken to. You suddenly get this thing where you're like, "Oh, he said this."
Yes.
That made me feel more like it was a human rather than a... Because it's just reams and reams of online forms. Like, there's nothing fun about it. At the beginning, I used it like a dating site. Like, "Oh yeah, I want this, and he's got to look like he's fun, and like he'd be a nice time, and woo." And then I was like, "Actually, that's just bullshit. I need someone that I know has great genetic history in terms of health, you know, all this kind of stuff." And so that narrowed it down for me as well. Like, because you get so much information about their familial health, like wild amounts.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Forgive me, but I wanted to ask about the process of selection.
Yeah.
And because I me and George don't really know too much about it. So for you, what you just mentioned, really great genetic health. What else was on the list there? Did you want somebody that aesthetically looked like you, or did you try and create somebody that might look like your child based on what he looked like?
Yeah. So, like I said, I started initially very flippantly, realized that was useless, then started with the main point being genetic history of health, because my family is riddled with all sorts of health nonsense. So I, you know, as much as it's a lottery, so I figured I may as well try and go vaguely healthy. And then I went tall and skinny to try and counteract my short and fat. I was like, I may as well, if I can do it, I'm going to, you know. And then everything else, I wanted them to look slightly like me, because not because I care what they look like, but because I'm really, really nosy. And I wouldn't have been able to cope with looking at this baby's face for all their life and not know who they look like if they didn't look like me.
Right.
Do you see what I mean? So,
yes.
So I didn't want to go, obviously I didn't want to go for a different race, because that would just be wrong on so many levels for me. But initially I thought I'd go blonde because la la la. But again, that didn't turn out. I got someone actually quite different to me. But as it happens, my son could not look more like me.
I know. I was looking at your Instagram page earlier on. I mean, that's why I'm asking.
He's terrifying. I know.
He's your double.
He's literally my double. Yeah. I think the donor just had a blank face. Like, there's, or he looked like me, because Herb looks just like me, which is great, because like I said, my nosiness, I don't think would have coped with not knowing.
I know. I understand, like, if someone's got like a real prominent feature, whatever that might be, and then that's passed on in the genes, and then you're looking thinking, wow, where did that come from?
Nose, chin, whatever. And that oddly is something that I didn't struggle with, because I mean, it's ridiculous. It's literally just because I'm nosy, and it would have been like a itch I couldn't scratch to know where that had come from. But like I say, as it happens, I don't have that, because the kid is definitely mine.
Exactly like you.
The thing is, though, if you look at our kids, I don't know if you've had a little nose around, Luna is the spitting image of me. And when I look at her with Dawes, it could be me. Photographs of me, we are identical. And Kit looks identical to Dawes. And there isn't much of me in Kit, maybe the chin. But with Luna, she doesn't really have very much of Dawes. So, I don't know how that.
It could be that if I had another,
yes,
that it wouldn't look anything like me, and then I'd be like, oh God,
who are you?
Where did you come from? So it just turns out. But so yeah, that's how I started the choosing process really flippantly. Like, oh, he looks fun. He plays guitar, and then oh no, actually, his dad died when he was really young of a heart attack. That's probably not ideal, or you know. So then you start remembering what you're looking for, and it isn't someone to have a nice time on a date with.
No.
Yeah. And this might be a silly question, but it's just popped up into my head when you said, if I had another one, it might look completely different. Does this ever happen that you go back to the same sperm donor?
You can buy as many, and the most horrific term of all time is, they're called straws of sperm. Nobody needs
what?
To.
Well,
yeah.
That means you, yeah.
What? Straws of sperm. I mean, there is only a man could have come up with that. So you can buy as many straws of sperm as you want, but you obviously have to keep them. So if I did that, I would have to have them stored in a clinic in the UK, which costs a shed ton of money. And so, yeah, absolutely, I could go back. But again, if I didn't buy enough straws at the right time and I went back, there's every chance he wouldn't be on there now.
Right.
And did you have to, so did you fly to Denmark for the process, or did Denmark straws of sperm come to you?
They came to me. Wow. So literally I went online, and you don't even have to open an account, or you just add it to the basket, which is in the shape of a pram.
I thought you were going to say penis then.
No, a pram, which I don't know is worse. You know, and you're just like, okay, yeah, we get it. Like, you're ramming it home. And yeah, you just add it to basket and then get it shipped.
And you
over.
Ship it to your clinic.
To your
and
clinic,
then what yeah. happens? So tell us that process. So we've chosen Danish sperm donor. They ship it across to your clinic, and then?
Yep. So again, fertility, different for everybody. My experience is that I went in a low-level fertility, which is basically IUI, which is they literally just inject sperm into my cervix. So I didn't have any hormone treatment. I didn't have any hormone wow. drugs. I didn't have – because, again, I was really adamant / stubborn that I didn't have any fertility issues.
Yeah.
That my issue was being single. So I didn't want to pump myself full of hormones. I'm mad enough as it is. I didn't need my body having any more if I didn't need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I knew that if I did need it, I'd do it, but I didn't want to start out there. And so I started with IUI, and I told myself I'd have 4 goes of natural IUI. And if that didn't work, then I'd try hormone or maybe IVF, etc., etc. But I didn't really look into anything further because it's so mind-blowing, all the information, that I just siloed what I needed and looked into those bits at the right time.
And does the cost differ? Does the cost differ between IUI?
Wildly. Right. Oh, Zoe, wildly. So like IUI is Tesco value, the cheapest, because honestly, I was in the clinic for 15-20 minutes a time. It's exactly the same as a smear test.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Exactly the same. Except they don't scrape, they put something in. But it takes as long, it's the same speculum, it's exactly the same. So that's how long I was in there for. Whereas with other fertility, it could be mine was thousands, because the fertility industry is based on making money. And
she says very softly.
Very yeah. softly.
Smile on her face.
Yeah. Very softly. but yeah, you go up to IVF or double donor, so egg donor, sperm donor, and IVF. That could be £10,000-£15,000 right. of treatment. So mine was very entry level. So again, I feel like a real fraud talking about fertility, because all I did was walk into a clinic, and I didn't have any of the sort of intrusiveness that you can get with other fertility treatments.
Okay. And you mentioned that you were going to give it 4 goes. How many times did it take?
4.
4.
Did it?
So predictable. Yeah. Which again is a bloody miracle, because in real life, again in inverted commas,
yeah.
that's like me having sex 4 times.
4 times. Yeah.
That's so
like, yeah. So do you do it on separate months?
Yes, so I did it on separate months. So it's again the same thing. You wait until you're ovulating, you phone the clinic to say I'm ovulating. They go, cool, come in tomorrow. They then wash the sperm to separate the sperm from the semen.
Wow. Oh, yes, the actual things that look like the tiny little sperms, tadpoles, that's what.
I had no idea they were different things. Absolutely none. I thought sperm and semen were the same thing. No, they're different.
My mind's going off on a tat. Like, yeah, of course. I've always wanted to know what they... I thought they were just called the same thing, like you live.
Like, yeah. Like boobs and tits, same thing.
Yeah.
No, totally different. So they have to wash the sperm ready. Well, they have to defrost it, wash it, ready for you to come in. Then you come in and it's just waiting for you in a little tub, and you have to say, is that yours? And I'm like, probably.
Hopefully.
I've never seen it before. And then the really romantic procedure starts.
So the process took 4 months, which...
Well, I did 3 and then took 6 months off and then did the fourth one.
Okay.
I actually took about 8 months.
Why did you take that break, Liv?
I couldn't cope anymore. No. And that's me not on hormones. Like, that's me just trying. But I put so much pressure on on it working. And every time you get that fucking negative pregnancy test and that 2 week wait, and I actually can't remember the second and third times. I can't remember the wait. I can't remember because I just blocked it out. Like,
yeah.
And I just knew then that I couldn't keep going for a while. I was just going to give myself a bit of time out.
Yeah.
And then just do the next one later down the line. And
yeah.
Then I just suddenly made the decision to do it. It wasn't nothing happened that made me decide to do the fourth one. I think I was just like, Jesus, it's been 5 months or whatever it was now. I should probably get going on that again.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened that that one was the one that worked.
So tell us that moment that you took 6 months out, you decided, right, I'm just going to give it another shot. Was this a, I'm just going to give it one last shot, or was it?
This was, so I'm giving it one last shot before IVF.
Okay.
Right.
So, which would have meant a good couple of years out, because I'd have had to have saved to mm-hmm. be able to afford to do it. Mm-hmm. So it was one last shot for now. And I was convinced it wasn't going to work because it hadn't worked before. I was just like, oh, God, why am I doing this? It's not going to work. But again, I'm the world's most stubborn person. So I'd told myself I was going to do four. So I was going to do four. I rocked up, did it, came home. That was that. Didn't think about it. Didn't worry about the 2 week wait. Nothing. I literally just, well, that's that. I'll now start looking into IVF and start saving again until the morning sickness came.
Oh, what, was that the first indicator?
Looking back now, yes. And I'd sort of blocked it out from my head to allow myself to think that that's what it was. Yeah. But yeah, I did do a test, and obviously it said that I was pregnant.
Who was with you?
My nieces, actually, who are in their 20s. They're not young. And there was just a lot of screeching and a lot of, a lot of tears and screeching. And yeah, I couldn't really believe it.
And when you were going through the process and you obviously then announced that you were pregnant, what was the reaction like from friends and family? And
it's funny, I was so nervous about that, which is ridiculous because it doesn't impinge on anyone else. So whether I have a baby or not, I shouldn't worry about whether you think it's a good idea or so-and-so think, you know, other than my family who... And I was terrified telling them, but they, my brothers and sisters, were just like, of course, this is amazing. You know, they didn't once question it or...
Did you tell them when you were going through the process, Liv, or did you wait? Yeah, you did.
I told everybody really early on. I started blogging about it really early on as well because, I'm crap at keeping secrets about things I'm excited about. If they're really serious secrets, I can keep them. But if it's something I'm excited about, I can't keep it in. So I knew I'd have to just tell people. And also at the time I didn't work for myself, so I didn't want to make fertility appointments even more complicated by having to lie to work about, because you can't plan it. You can't go, oh, in 3 weeks' time I need a day off. It's, oh, tomorrow I've got to go to the clinic or I've, you know, and I couldn't, honestly, I just couldn't be bothered with the sort of logistics of lying about it. So I started blogging about it really early on. So I told my family like a week after I decided to make it happen.
Wow. And was did everybody give you a positive response?
I mean, mainly, right. The only person that was vaguely like, oh, was one of my godmothers, who I don't see very often. And she was really kind, you know, she didn't mean it, but she just sort of said, oh, darling, I do hope your parents dying hasn't affected you. Could you not go and find a partner? You know, and you're like,
oh, what, like going down the cafe to have a cheese and ham toastie?
You know, you're like,
yeah, pick one up.
Pick one up, yeah.
So that was the only like, God, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard, but sure, you know, that's just what came to her. Everyone else, I've had one person online once years ago say, I sounded like I was talking about getting a baby, like I was talking about buying a handbag. You know, and you're just like, okay. Then you didn't read into that properly, you know.
Well, also, if it was that difficult to buy a handbag, then no one, we'd all be walking around holding everything, wouldn't we? Because there wouldn't be a lot of people that would do
it. But also, it's just also that is, if that's all you can think about, then cool, I'm fine with that. And it doesn't impinge on your life, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, exactly. It's got nothing to do with
it. This was your decision for you.
Yeah.
And it really has nothing to do with anyone else.
But other than that, everyone has been...
That's amazing.
Just, I think it's because women get it. And then, like, that's not to say my male friends haven't been supportive, but all female friends, and I obviously do a lot of mum stuff online, and again, people just get that, women get it, the kind of primal urge to want to be a mother, or not. Like, one woman contacted me going, thank you so much, you've made me realize I definitely don't want to be a mum. I've always thought I was wrong, but actually I don't have that urge that you talk about, and thank you for saying I don't want to do it.
I feel like we've got so much work to do in society, because for me, there is so much pressure on women to have children when they hit a certain age, all the conversations, all the language, everything that we're fed in, you know, our media, everything. On the other side of that coin, when we choose, like you, to go and have a baby on our own, there is a lot of like, oh, but you're going to be a single parent, and do you think you can cope? And you can't. And people just expect that it's going to fit into a certain box that they want it to look like. You know, I have one of my best friends is single, and she's approaching 40, and she's made the decision that she wants to do it on her own. And you know, I don't think there's enough of these conversations going around. Yeah. You know, we're just expected to have a partner. If we don't have a partner, we're expected not to have a baby.
I'm so passionate about talking about alternative routes to parenthood, because it just, the nuclear family doesn't really, well, it does exist, that's, and it should exist. It's not to say it shouldn't, but there are so many other ways to become a family, and people need to know that they exist. And I felt so scared and lonely and terrified only 4.5 years ago, because I didn't know where to look, and there seemed at the time to me to be no one like me talking about it, and there was loads of online secretive forums, and I get why people don't want to be talking about it openly, but to me, I really wanted to, because I wanted other people to see that they're not on their own, and kind of amplify that voice, as it were, that it's totally okay, and I've never had anyone say anything horrible, and you'll be all right as long as you've got a core crew around you that support you. You'll be okay, you can do it. Like, motherhood's frigging hard, whether there's five of you, one of you, two, you know,
exactly,
it's a roller coaster, and sometimes it's easier when there's just one of you.
yeah, and also it's not just two parents that raise a child, it's, you know, it's friends and godparents, and a village, exactly. Absolutely. You know, and Georgia's got the most incredibly involved parents who are around a lot. You know, my mum lives in Kenya, his dad lives in Scotland, but we've got an amazing you know, nanny who helps us out loads, and we've also got like a surrogate granny down the road who does all the childcare, and you need those people. So regardless of having two parents, it's
And I don't have any parents, so like, it was even more important to me that I could find, that I knew that my friends were on board and would help me out, or, you know, and my family, my sisters and my brother wanted to help me, and God, do they, you know, they're amazing, all of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to, you know, life has changed a bit, and the white picket fence is moving on, and that's cool, that's fine, but I'm just, that's why I started talking about it, and again, feel a little bit of a fraud, because my journey to becoming a mum was so low level in terms of fertility treatment. Being a solo mum, all that, but in terms of fertility, people ask me a lot of, and I I am by no means an expert, but I have my story, and that's what I can tell.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And it's a positive one.
Hardest part about being a solo mum, a solo mum superstar?
Financial is really hard. I'd love for it to be something that I could control, but financially it's really tough. So I work full time. There's no option for me but to work full time. I love my job. But childcare for full time is I got into a huge amount of debt because of fertility and then childcare, and I'm really privileged. I could afford to get into debt. So, you know, and to get out of debt, I sold my house. That's a wildly privileged position to be in. And so being able to, that financial responsibility is wild. I can't even tell you. I find that more crippling mentally than other kind of parental loads that I have to take on.
Yep.
Yeah. And do you think the financial impact would prevent you doing it again?
Oh, it's definitely. I'd be pregnant now otherwise. If I could afford childcare, if I could get, because again, fertility, I know how much it cost me on the four goes that I did, but that isn't to say that it would take me four goes next time.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't know how much to budget for. I wouldn't know how much to, I say budget for, I wouldn't know how much to get a loan for. I wouldn't know. And then there's childcare costs again. I can't, otherwise I'd have a groaning table full of them.
Would you?
Absolutely. I'm gutted for Herb that I can't have more. But actually he doesn't know any
different.
And we're still, and we're still from a massive family. I've got 10 nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
I've got 8 godchildren. I've, you know, so he'll never be lonely. But yeah, I would, I'm really sad for that we don't have a bigger immediate family. But God, Jesus, like, what do I want? The world? Like, I got what I wanted.
And the book is out now.
It's out on the 19th of August.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it isn't like a go-to, as in it's not a how to get pregnant on your own. There's bits, obviously, there's how I did. But again, like we've discussed, that's such a tiny part of the fertility puzzle. But it's my story about how I became to be a solo mum, how I did it, and and life after.
Okay, well, it sounds amazing. So yeah, Liv's Alone is out on the 19th of August. Go grab yourself a copy. What a fascinating story, Liv. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks, team. You're so welcome.
Liv.
Thank you.
Absolutely loved it. Thanks, Liv.
The Viking sperm.
The Viking sperm. No, you were so right what you said at the beginning of the chat about just some really fascinating practical tips, but also just understanding about the whole process. You know, I really do feel like I took away loads from that chat. It's just the ins and outs of it and how every clinic is different. And, you know, the fact that actually she rung up and they were like, yeah, no, just come in. And it was just as simple as just popping it in. It wasn't anything more than that. Like,
no,
what?
And also like literally just going online and just like buying some sperm, like, and putting it in
sperm
a basket.
Straws.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, it all sounds so simple, but it's obviously not. And a lot, you know, a lot of thought goes into it. And, a lot of money, as she said, like that's the thing that's holding her back. And, but I guess, you know, the more people who talk about doing it, maybe the price will come down if there's more demand for it. Who knows? But it's good that you can do this. It's incredible that you can do this now.
And if you've got somebody in your life, a best friend, you know, a cousin, an aunt, a sister who is thinking about doing it on their own but is scared, just let them listen to that chat, because I thought it was really empowering and really inspiring.
Definitely.
Thank you. Massive thanks to Liv for coming on and talking to us about that. And thank you to you for listening. As always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe and follow the podcast. If you do have time to give us a little review, we would love them, because we love reading them. So, and I know it takes time out of your day, but it's worth it.
Yeah. And any feedback on any of the episodes or any of the guests, then please, our DMs are always open. Just drop us a DM at Made by Mamas, or if you've got any like bad feedback, then direct that at Zoe at Zoe Hardman on Instagram.
I will not give a shit, because I will be on holiday. See you fuckers.
Bye.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the wonderful Imogen Hart.
Insanity Group.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.